How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the second episode of Across the Board, hosted by me, Brennan Liddell Bryant, where we talk about anything and everything relevant and irrelevant in today's world. Wow, we made it. Episode 2. You thought I'd be finished after the first episode, right? Just a one and done. Like a LeBron James or like a Kobe. But no, we keep our ties strong and we go the full 4 years. And we pull a... All right, this metaphor is obviously going nowhere. Welcome back. If you listened to the first episode and you're here, thank you for sticking with me for the second episode. If you haven't listened to the first episode, please go back. I talk a little bit about what everyone's talking about, the coronavirus, and I introduce my new mini series where I talk about scary movies. So if you're interested in any of those things, or if you're not interested in any of those things, then listen to it anyways, because fuck it, right? Today, we're going to be talking about something that's close to my heart, which is my story and how I basically got to where I am currently today, who I am, what I do, all the mysteries solved. Today is like going to be an uncovering of Brennan Bryant, so, or an unwrapping, I would say. You guys ever watch those YouTube videos where they unwrap stuff? And all they do is explain what the product is and they essentially get paid for that. That's crazy. Now that's crazy. You get paid to do that, to review a product. Hey, I got this water bottle in the mail. It's pretty sturdy. The metal's pretty solid. Helps keep the water great. Subscribe for more. And then you make $1 million if you get a bunch of views. It's crazy. Insane. Anyways, so... beginning the story today, I wanted to kind of talk about where I'm from, what I do, how I got here. Not because I love talking about myself, though I do. I got a lot of requests to do this type of podcast a while ago when I first started. A lot of people were saying it should be my first podcast, and I probably should have done this first, but you know what? I've been living very spontaneously, so... that's why I just went into it, but essentially just wanted to do a podcast where I talk about myself and offer up insight for anybody who's interested in doing something similar to what I am doing. Without further ado, this is the story of Brennan Bryant. And I'm going to open up with some very interesting music about here. Yeah, there it is. Okay, so... essentially, when I was younger, I got into music because I started playing piano at a young age. I would do recitals. I would practice a lot. Loved it. Loved piano. I loved playing on the piano and figuring out melodies before I even knew what notes were. I would whistle and then I would try and play it on the piano back. So always been around music, always loved music. Definitely been a huge part of my life since I was young. As time passed, you know, my parents ended up putting me in basketball. I don't remember if I was interested or if they were like, play basketball. And I was like, all right, bet. Not really sure what happened. So mom, dad, if you're listening, maybe you can clarify. So I played basketball for about 10 years. I was playing on really, really good AAU basketball teams. And for those of you that don't know what AAU basketball is, it's essentially... a basketball team that plays year-round, and you travel sometimes around the country playing in tournaments. So I went to Texas, Arizona, Florida, I think, Nevada, obviously California, to play in a bunch of really, really big, prestigious tournaments. And I played with a lot of like really, really talented players. A couple notable ones that are like either in the league or like doing well in their own rights. Aaron Holiday, who I believe now plays for the Pacers. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know what? I actually didn't play him in AAU. I just played him in high school. Whoops. In AAU, I played like Tyler Dorsey, Stanley Johnson. I think that was mainly it. I know a couple other big people, but I'm not thinking of exactly who they are right now. But anyways, I used to play against those guys. I was getting recruited pretty heavily in high school, going to camps. I went to a Columbia camp in New York, which was like the first, I believe they're D1. I'm not really sure. I don't really remember. But like the first D1 school that was interested. And I remember in that camp, I actually had a pretty crazy dunk that was like amazing. But yeah, I kept doing the camps, the basketball thing, and like, I don't know what it was, but my passion definitely was declining. Not because I don't love basketball. I still do. I try and play as much as I can, but something just told me that I needed to look for something else and do something else. So I started acting and doing drama in high school because my drama teacher, shout out Mr. H, he like really pushed me into it. And he's like, hey, I really want you to be in this musical. It's going to be called The Wiz, which is essentially like the black version of The Wizard of Oz. It's amazing. If you haven't seen the movie The Wiz, it's fire. I believe Michael Jackson's in it. Who else is in The Wiz? The Wiz cast. It's incredible. If you love musicals, if you love plays, you got to watch it. Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, Nipsey Russell, Mabel King, Lena Horne, bunch of really famous, big African-American entertainers. So it's amazing. You got to watch it. But essentially, Mr. H recruited the best cast of actors from the school, including some of my best friends, Isaiah, Jenny, and we killed it. It was amazing. I was the Tin Man. It was fire. And Isaiah was the Scarecrow. Such a fire show. Just reminiscing on that is amazing. But that really like kind of sparked my interest towards the creative again and really just made me put my life into perspective. Like, what industry do I want to be involved in for the rest of my life? And I knew it was music. So the only thing, like when someone thinks of music, like you don't instantly think of like the music business. Cause if you did, I feel like, I don't know, if you do, cool. But when you think of music, you instantly think about like the creative aspects of it and what you can do on the creative side of, you know, being behind the mic and making the music. So I started making music, and that's a fact that a lot of people actually don't know. Mainly because I just kind of like stopped talking about it and like kind of put it in this box in the corner and said, fuck off. But not because I'm ashamed of it or anything, just because like I know exactly what I want now. And don't think that really ties into an identity, a public facing identity that I wanted. But yeah, essentially started making music, making beats too. I actually have a really crazy EDM remix that I made with my friend Ben Maroner. Ben, if you're listening, shout out to you. I'll put it in the link. I'll put it in the bio description so you guys can listen to it. It's actually super fire. So yeah, I wanted to start making music, be an artist. I started performing, doing a couple shows, put out some music. Nothing was catching. Obviously, it's something that takes a while, you know? And I was doing this throughout college, and I obviously realized like I need a source of income going out of college, but I knew that I couldn't have a normal desk job and be happy every day. And like I knew I had to work in music to be happy. So I found a passion within the business. And I really was just looking for ways to connect into this industry and get my foot in the door and everything. So I started off with internships. I worked for a manager for a bit. I worked at a PR firm for a bit. And still nothing was happening. Finally, USC. And this is honestly, like, if this panel didn't happen, I would not be in this position. So shout out USC. Definitely changed my life. Thank you so much. Anywho, USC, and then everyone else to follow. So here we go. So essentially, USC threw a panel where Jameel Davis, shout out Jameel, one of my favorite people on this planet, Matt Bauerschmidt, shout out Matt, David Dan, and Tyler Henry, shout out Tyler, were all on this panel, and they were talking about the music industry, and it was really inspiring, really big, motivational people talking about their experiences. You know, Jameel's with Drake and G-Eazy, Jameel and Matt are with Drake and G-Eazy, David Dan was with Gallant and some other artists, and Tyler's with Party Next Door. So like really motivational people up there. But the one person that stood out to me, they all stood out, but the one person that I feel like I would connect the most was Tyler, because he went to USC and he was in my shoes. So it was really easy for me to be like, man, I really want to be like that one day, you know, like, cause he started from USC as well. So, during this panel, I was absolutely sick, by the way. I was like really, really sick and I wanted to go home, but something told me to stay. And I just had this like feeling that I had to talk to Tyler. So I went up to Tyler, I spoke to him. And at this time, I think I was still making music. So I was just asking him questions about like what I should do as an artist and like how I should, you know, grow my fan base, blah, blah, blah. Typical like whack questions one could ask. So shout out to you, Tyler, for, you know, sticking with me. Yeah, so I went up to him, we talked a little bit, I got his email, and nothing really happened, you know? Time passed, nothing really happened from that. Until one day, I was in a class, it was a PR class at USC with Lauren Medina. I'll never forget this moment. We were in the class and she was like, take a second to think about your Rolodex and think about what contacts you can hit up to help you. And when she said that, I instantly thought of Tyler. I was like, huh, maybe I should send him an email. So I sent him an email right there in class. I just said, you know what? We're just going to send an email. I was like, Tyler, I really want to work for you. Is there any time I can come by this week to talk about it? Very upfront, you know, didn't know what was going to happen. I was just like, let me just try. By the time I got out of class, as I was walking out the door, I got an email back from Tyler. Sure, let's do it. Are you free tomorrow? I was shook. This was my first time reaching out to somebody in the music industry and getting a response like that. I had messaged a lot of people and Tyler was like the first one that said, you know what, come by. So I was ecstatic. I was so excited. I was like telling all my friends, oh my God, I'm going to meet at Party Next Door's manager's house. Like I was ecstatic. So I went to Tyler's house. And it's funny because I went to Tyler's house, started talking to him, and Corey actually walked in the door. My current boss, shout out to you, Corey. Corey walked in the door, and then him and Tyler started talking, and I was just kind of like taking in what they were saying about growing their businesses, their respective businesses. I talked to Corey a little bit, and then Corey ended up leaving, chopped it up with Tyler for a little bit. And then, you know, we were trying to figure out where I could fit in. But since I was in school still, it was like a hard sell for me. So nothing really ended up happening there. But that doesn't mean that that wasn't super important, because that was like the first step to like every subsequent event that happened after. So it's actually amazing to look back on. But anyways, time passes, right? And another weird coincidence, I'm just on Instagram. I think I had followed Jamil at the panel. So I was just on Instagram and I was on Jamil's story. And as you know, Jamil likes to post stories and he's asking people, you know, if you want to work for me, if you want to do this, if you want to do that, DM me, shoot me a resume. Jamil is like amazing at doing that and finding really good people. So he did that. I DM'd him and it was basically him asking Instagram like, hey, I'm throwing a party at Delilah, and I need workers, hustlers, all that. So DM me, blah, blah, blah. So I DM'd him. And I think a day went by and nothing happened. And I was like, damn, okay, so who do I know that's connected to Jamil? And at the time, I was at USC, and Zach Bia was going to USC as well. And a fun little fact, Zach and I were actually in the same fraternity. So, and we stood right next to each other because my last name was Bryant, his last name was Bia. So we like just stood next to each other in the lineup. So I reached out to Bia and I was like, yo, I saw Jamil post this thing about working at Delilah. Like, is there any way you can hit him up for me and just tell him like, I'm a good candidate, like I'll do a great job. He said, sure, no problem. Messaged him and immediately Jamil DM'd me back and said, let's hop on a call. So shout out to you, Zach. You really helped me out with talking to Jamil. So essentially, finally got to talking to Jamil on the phone. I told him about where I've worked, you know, what experience I had, and that I was 100% down to do whatever was necessary for the party. He said, okay, great, come at this time, this day, and we'll see what happens. So go to the party. I think I go there at like 3 or 4, and the party's not till later that night, like 11. So I help set up for the party, gather all the materials, help everyone set up like the plants because Jamil loves his plants. He has a tree in his house that's fire, by the way. So amazing. So we set up a bunch of plants at the venue, everything. The party's going on, right? I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I really don't like parties, especially when I don't know anyone. I didn't know anyone at this party. I'm walking around doing like the typical, like picking up trash, like all that shit. And I'm just like, it's like 1 a.m. and I'm like, God, I want to go home. And then something's like, no, don't go home. Don't go home. You need to stay. And I was like, all right, fine, whatever. So I stayed. I think I stayed till like 4 or 5 a.m. And there was a moment that I'll never forget in like my whole life. So I was taking down the vines that were like stapled to the top ring of the venue. I don't really know how to describe it. It's just like the shelving, I guess, area, whatever. I was taking down the vines by myself. It's like 3, 4 a.m. I'm on a ladder that's like 7-foot high ladder. Taking down these vines by myself, exhausted, just ready to go home. But I'm just like pushing through. And then Jamil comes by and he points at me and he's like, see, that's how you get a fucking job. And like when he said that, I turned around and I was like, oh shit, like someone actually noticed. Because I never do things for people to notice. I just do them because I like doing them. Like for instance, this podcast, I look to see who watched, like listen to it. Nobody's really listened to it. And I'm not saying that to be like, hey, why aren't you guys listening to my podcast? Fuck you. Like, it's not even that. It's like, I enjoy talking about stuff and putting it out there just because it's out there. I can listen to it. It's like a memory in a way, if I want to ever go back and listen to it. So these are never meant to like gain attention or like have people listen to me. It's just literally for me to like talk. So whoever enjoys it, great. If you don't enjoy it, I'm sorry, you know? So hopefully you do enjoy it though. That's why I like doing it as well, to help people enjoy life, you know? All right, off of that tangent. Anywho, so he's like, that's how you get a fucking job, right? So turns out next day comes around, I send over my resume to be his assistant and I go in for an interview. And he calls me a little bit after and says, you're hired. When can you start? Or we'll do a trial period. When can you start? So I started, I want to say that weekend or whenever it was, as soon as possible, essentially. And this was around summertime. So I literally had zero commitments. So I start the trial period. And I'm not going to lie to you, the first week was rough. And Jamil likes to talk about this a lot. Like, so I'm very open with saying this. But I wanted to quit the first week. And yeah, it was just always funny because he's like, oh, you wanted to quit the first week and all this. And but looking back on it, I'm so glad I didn't. So I was working long hours throughout the week, really strenuous stuff, honestly, but it just really built my character and it helped me learn a lot about the industry that I hadn't known yet, just from watching Jamil and seeing how he moves and just being around him and around everyone during that time. So during those 3 months, that was like an accelerated growth period for me because I was working a lot and meeting a lot of people. I probably met more people in that 3 months than I've met obviously now I've met a lot of people, but during that time in my life, especially because I knew zero people in the music industry, from going from zero to what I ended up meeting at the end of that 3 months was actually pretty radical. So I'm really appreciative for that opportunity, Jamil. Thank you so much. But yeah, during that time, I was Jamil's assistant. I helped out on the G-Eazy Endless Summer Tour. That was like my first time on a tour bus. We did like 2 weeks and a couple different cities. But that was literally my first time like seeing how everything was done on tour. And it was kind of the precursor to something that I'm like really, really proud about. And that's working on Wireless Festival and the Drake Tour. The Aubrey and the Three Amigos tour. So I ended up going to, I don't know if Wireless was before or after the Migos, but the Aubrey and the Three Amigos tour, but I think it was before. Yeah, it was before. So I ended up going to London with Jamil. And this was honestly one of my favorite adventures. And I'll explain why in a little bit. But I ended up going to London with Jamil for Wireless. And I was literally so excited because in the back of my mind, I was like, oh my God, like, do I get to meet Drake? And for someone at that time, Drake was a huge inspiration to me because I wanted to make music and I wanted to do that. Obviously now I'm in the position where I'm I'm fine with being in the business and I love the business aspect of everything. But at that time, like Drake was my like idol and I like idolized him. And I was like, oh my God, do I get to meet this guy? This is crazy. And I had told Jameel, I was like, yo, like there's only two people I really care about meeting in music, and it's Drake and John Mayer. And he was like, okay, I'll see what I can do. And you know, the rest of the story will describe the rest. But essentially, we got to London and it's the day of rehearsals. And Jameel says, hey, I need you to go to, why can't I think of this? You know what's funny? I was thinking of this the other day. There's a chicken place and I can't remember what it's called. What is it called? There's a chicken place in London and like other places. Chicken place in London. And it's like super famous and I can't think of what it's called. That's crazy. Oh, well, but it's like this really good chicken place and they have like an amazing sauce. Someone's going to like call me out for not knowing this, whatever. Anyways, I went to go pick up the chicken for them. It was a really tight timeline. It was like I had to pick up the chicken in 40 minutes because they were arriving in 50 minutes. So I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not going to make it. So went to the chicken place, got back in time, dropped off the food, went back out to the car to get more food. And then when I came back inside, everyone was inside, including like Drake and like the whole team and everybody. So I was like, okay, here we go. So I walk in, I put all the food down, and then Jameel goes, hey, Drake, this is my assistant. And that moment is crazy to me because I'll always just be like, whoa, this is nuts. So yeah, ended up, you know, meeting Drake that day, which is crazy. Sitting through the rehearsals, so it was literally like getting a private concert pretty far. And yeah, it was a moment that I like always will look back on being super proud because I worked really hard to get to that, and then it ended up happening. So I guess it's just a testament to like always put your mind to something and like keep pushing forward no matter what, like no matter what anyone tells you, no matter what you think you can or can't do. It's just all cap. So yeah, I ended up doing Wireless Festival, helping out a lot there. After Wireless, Jameel was like, hey, do you want to go on like a vacation? Like you could take a couple days off. So I ended up going to Paris with a good friend, Dunya, who's an artist as well. Shout out Dunya. She's incredible, an incredible spirit as well. We ended up going to Paris for a day or two. In Paris, I also met a very good friend by the name of Sammy. She's incredible. If you're listening, Sammy, I love you. You're an amazing person. Thank you for giving me an amazing memory in Paris. We literally went to the Eiffel Tower at night and like drank a bottle of wine and just danced and chilled. It was so fun. So yeah, and then the next day I was going to go to Amsterdam because I really wanted to try out like the coffee shops where you can smoke weed and like chill, and also see like all the flowers and stuff. But I ended up missing my flight, and Dunya was like, hey, do you want to go to Ibiza with me? And I was like, yeah. So we ended up going to Ibiza for like a day or two, and that was amazing in itself. We went scuba diving, like we rode on a boat. We watched the sunset with all the people standing there. It's like crazy. If you haven't been to Ibiza, you have to go. So, yeah, it was really amazing because I had that opportunity to travel Europe, which I've never been able to do. I've always wanted to go to Italy too. So one day I'll end up making it out there. But yeah, essentially, went to Italy and then came, or sorry, no, I didn't go to Italy. Went to Ibiza, came back home and kept working for Jameel. Then we did the Drake tour, the Aubrey the Three Amigos tour. And then I also helped him out at OVO Fest, which was incredible. And I actually still keep all my laminates and I'm looking at them right now. And it's just amazing. They're all on my wall. So it's just like a lot of good memories for me. But so yeah, I kept working for Jameel for a little bit. And then school started back up. So I was like trying to piece it together, and I was like, man, do I stay in school and like work for Jameel and like suffer taking lower grades because I can't really focus in school that much? Do I drop out? Like, it was a very stressful time because I finally got an in to a job that I really wanted, but I had to finish out my last year of school to a school that I really wanted to go to. So it was like the lesser of two evils type situation. And I decided, I talked to Jameel and I like broke down because like I loved the job that I was doing with him. And I knew that me leaving could possibly change the trajectory of the rest of my life, but I also know that me completing college was a huge milestone for me. By the way, I for those of you that don't know, I got into USC. I go to USC, or went to USC, graduated from there with a business degree, just in case you didn't know. So yeah, decided that I needed to finish up school. I talked to Jamil, and he was fully understanding of, you know, me choosing that. But as time passed, when I was in school, I knew that I couldn't be out of the industry for a couple months. So I talked to Jamil if he was okay with it. But I ended up working part-time with Corey Litwin. Shout out Corey, amazing, amazing human being. Corey is Murda Beats' manager. And I basically hit him up to work part-time so I could stay in the industry and still be learning and still be in school, but not have like the full-time commitment. So I was working part-time with Corey. At that time, I was obviously in a trial period and still learning and still like growing my skills. But now I'm currently tour manager for Murda Beats. I also help out with I'm in the administrative coordinator for the company. So I also help set up sessions. I meet with people to bring in more opportunities. Any email inquiry I handle. And I basically handle a lot of Murda's day-to-day stuff. And along with that, I also A&R some things. So like set up sessions, get song ideas, you know, create songs, all that stuff. So it's honestly, I couldn't imagine being in this position a year ago when I was still in school. And now I'm a year out and I'm in this position. So I'm really, really excited for the future and, you know, continually growing my knowledge in the music industry. So yeah, I basically started working part-time for Corey. And then once I graduated, it just made sense to transition into full-time. And it's been going great. I've been there for a year and a couple months now. And it's been wonderful, honestly. I've learned so much about myself, about the industry, about what I'm good at, what I'm not good at, so I can continue working on it. And just moving forward, I want to be that person in the industry, and I'm trying to coin this term. So maybe one day I'll look back and be like, I did it, but I want to be like the Swiss Army knife of the music industry and like kind of do a bunch of different things and help out with a bunch of different initiatives. And I'm super excited about all of that. So yeah, that's basically my story in a nutshell. I know it like took a long time to get to that point, but I wanted to tell this story not only because people have requested that I talk a little bit more about what I do and like how I got there, but also to offer up like some insight in the industry and give some advice to like people who are interested in going into music but not really sure how to get going. The number one piece of advice that I would have to people who want to work in music is consistency is key and determination. So if you're consistent in something, people are going to start recognizing that. For me, it was the moment when I was in Delilah cleaning up at 5 a.m. That's consistent for me because I'm very good at like doing something until the job is done. So that was my consistency. And then the determination came when I wasn't taking no for an answer and I was trying to find any possible door I could to enter. And a lot of people are really scared of that because they're afraid of the first no and they're afraid of what people think. And don't get me wrong, I was too. I was very, very conscious of what people thought about me. And even me doing this podcast is a big step because while I know they're not perfect and I know that no one could listen and I could just be rambling for no reason, I also know that I might be talking to somebody out there who like needs to hear this. So in that way, I'm doing a service, but also I'm doing this mainly, like I said, just because I really wanted to. So I essentially want to offer up some insight to anyone that's interested in the music industry, offer up suggestions on what sectors you can possibly work in. For me, I'm currently working in the management sector, which for those of you that don't know, basically assisting with all day-to-day practices of the artist slash producer slash songwriter, whatever. But there's a lot of different opportunities out there. People are always like, oh my God, I want to be a star. Like, not everyone's made to be a star, yo. Like some of us aren't meant to be, you know? So there's a lot of different things in the business that are super fun, super engaging, super climactic, but you don't have to be like the forward-facing star figure. There's publishing, there's being an agent, there's working at the label, there's working in brand deals, there's working in social media marketing, like a bunch of different things that you can get involved in, bunch of different people that you can connect to. So my suggestion for anyone who wants to work in music is to definitely just reach out to people who already do. Get insight from them. See what they think the next step should be. See who they know that you might be interested in talking to as well. Like, it's just a matter of finding your way in and then staying consistent and staying consistent. And you won't, if you stay consistent, you'll be fine. So I'm definitely a long, long, long way from where I want to be. I know I've made some good strides in the last year or so, but I want to keep doubling, tripling, quadrupling those strides just so I can keep up with my expected growth and my growth that I've also put on myself to achieve. So yeah, essentially for anyone who wants to work in music, obviously feel free to hit me up whenever. I hope this little podcast helped inspire you or just, you know, make you hate me. What, either one. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, essentially, thank you for listening. If you haven't already, go check out my last episode 1 of Across the Board. Next episode, I think we're gonna have a special guest, so stay tuned for that, and thanks for listening.